You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Anthony Castrovince. This is our latest look at the Cleveland Indians, and I am joined in person by Jordan Bastian. We're here in Goodyear, Arizona. Good to see you, buddy.
How you doing? Welcome to Goodyear.
Oh, it's good to be here. I see it's really the development of Goodyear continues to be overwhelming. I see there's a movie theater now.
There's a movie theater in the middle of a field. Hopefully by next year there will be more buildings around it.
That's what they said about P.F. Chang's and Red Robin.
Still waiting for the buildings, the ballpark village to pop up between the ballpark.
Any
the
day
conference.
Now, the ballpark village is going to spring forth to life.
Yeah, I mean, I just think one of these mornings I'm going to get up and drive, and all of a sudden there will be all this development. But no, Goodyear looks pretty much the same.
It does look pretty much the same. The good thing about Goodyear, ample parking. You never have to worry
plenty of parking
about a parking situation in Goodyear. The only thing you have to worry about is getting into a turning lane to a road that does not exist.
Yes.
They have a lot of that in Goodyear.
Yeah, that happened to me a couple years ago, but now that I've been here for years, I've learned which of these roads they're hoping will continue to go much farther in the future. There's still just like, signs at the end that you would just run into a dead end.
Goodyear has some of its appeal, though. You can only find the good. You can find the good in any place.
Yes.
I found the good in Winter Haven. I found the good in Goodyear. I think, but in your situation, covering a WBC spring training, you better find the good in a place, or you're for a struggle.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if you like hiking, you're pretty close to the White Tank Mountains, the Estrella Mountains. I'm not a golfer, but there's golf courses. There's things to do here. Some nice restaurants. We get into our routines. I've been here while the players have been gone at WBC. They had the trip to San Antonio that kind of threw off camp a little bit. There's been a lot of things this spring that have kind of thrown off that normal spring training rhythm.
Well, that's what I was going to get into. It has been a disjointed camp for a variety of factors, not all of them in the Indians' control, of course. But, yeah, you got the WBC, and I was at Cubs camp the other day. They lost Javi Baez to the WBC.
Right.
Okay, that's an important player, but that's it.
Right.
You know, whereas the Indians have had some very obviously important players. Carlos Santana just got back today from the Dominican team. Andrew Miller, of course, you know, the year Andrew Miller goes off with Team USA and they get to the final round. And he's, you know, snapping sliders out there ahead of schedule. And, you know, Lindor, of course.
And then even on a lesser scale, you know, they're right now trying to evaluate third base situation because of Jason Kipnis's injury and Giovanni Urshela missed time.
Yeah.
So a guy who might be the number one option to go to third now, he's just now like getting back to camp and getting back in the swing of things. And then a guy like Joe Colon with Puerto Rico, not a lot of people talk about him. He's kind of like a almost forgotten guy because of the situation, but he was supposed to be competing for that last bullpen job. So a lot of sort of, like, as you mentioned, disjointed is a perfect word.
And then the bumps and bruises on top of that.
Right.
Carlos Carrasco, as we're recording this on Monday, he's going to throw in a minor league game. Michael Brantley is getting in his first Cactus League game. It just hasn't been – it's not what you want, as Joe Girardi typically says to the Yankees media. It's not what you want to have a – you're not getting to see your product on the field on a consistent basis, which is what spring training is all about.
Right. And, you know, for example, when they had the trip to San Antonio, it was only two games, but – you had to manage filling out rosters for two games in San Antonio, so a travel squad. You had to manage filling out rosters for games here in Goodyear, where at least you have minor league camp where you can draw younger players up to just fill in those blank spots on the roster. And you're dealing with the fact that players are in the World Baseball Classic. When Chris Colabello came back from Team Italy, Francona was relieved because he said he literally had a blank spot at first base on one of his roster sheets. So when Colabello came back, like, Francona was the happiest to see him as he's like, I have a first baseman.
There you go.
Yeah.
My goodness. It's 162 games. I guess they'll figure it out over the course of that. But, certainly some frustration in this camp over those developments. But the good news, of course, Michael Brantley getting in the making his Cactus League debut. And, listen, we talk about it pretty much every week, so we're repeating ourselves, but you take these small milestones when you can get them, but best not to get too wrapped up in any one milestone and just look at the big picture, which is a steady progression.
Exactly. I have on my phone, I have one of those little apps, was it Time Hop, where it tells you like this day a year ago, this day 2 years ago, and it's kind of been funny to see every day when my tweets about Brantley were popping up from a year ago, and this morning I had a quote from Ty Van Berkelio, the hitting coach, from 1 year ago about how his swing looked Michael Brantley-esque, and it was so great to see him get back into games. And it was just an abundance of optimism at this point last year. And I think that kind of is a reminder of how, as Terry Francona used the word today, you kind of have to temper it. You have to temper that optimism because, as we've mentioned ad nauseum on this podcast, they've been down this road. Indians fans have been down this road. Michael Brantley's been down this road. The difference is they have been down this road, so now you have that foundation to maybe lean on. You know, Michael Brantley can maybe more realistically know what he's feeling now in relation to what he thought he was feeling a year ago. And I think from all accounts, from talking to people behind the scenes, especially in terms of Brantley's body language and the way he's acting, everyone's very positive about things they're seeing, not just on the field, but what they're seeing behind the scenes with him to make them feel like, yeah, okay, this time, you know, maybe it's a little more realistic.
You mentioned third base situation, second base situation. The second base situation is now the third base situation with Jason Kipnis out of the picture. And we know we have a more finite, although nothing's ever finite, you know, with medicals, but it sounds like a fairly finite picture of 4 to 5 weeks until he's back in Major League game action. And as an offshoot of that, now they're talking about Jose Ramirez at second base,
right?
Which is something they had talked about not doing initially, which would make the competition more at third base. So now, what are your expectations at third base?
Yeah, and I think that was when they were talking about they really would prefer to keep Jose at third, and I think they still do. Yeah. But that was when they weren't sure if this was going to be like Kipnis misses the first series or the first road trip. Now that they know it might be mid-April or later April, just because he needs to get that volume of he needs to have a spring training. Now you can think more realistically about, okay, this is not just a one-series or two-series fix. So now you move Jose to second where it's really not even that much of a transition for him. Maybe his most natural position, and now you look at third base and the options there. As I mentioned earlier, Giovanni Urshela is an option. Non-roster guy like Richie Schaefer is an option. Yandy Diaz, the Indians' Twitter fan favorite, would be a guy they're looking at mostly because of his bat. He's a really advanced bat, but defensively, he worked maybe more in the outfield last year and early in spring. They're trying to get him in third base a lot more now down the stretch because they want to see, you know, is he still a quote-unquote work in progress at third? And then a guy like Eric Gonzalez who could be in the mix as a utility guy or at third because, you know, as Terry Francona has said, you know, he's really, really strong defensively no matter where you put him. And I think defense may be some of the priority here in a short-term situation like this because, you know, I think as Tito mentioned today, you're not going to replace Kipnis's offense, but if you know you can help the run prevention by having a really trustworthy guy at third, you know, that might be the priority, and that's where maybe like Urshela or Gonzalez have the edge.
Yeah, I think it'll be Urshela. Reading the tea leaves and the priority on defense, a guy who's been, I mean, Gonzalez has been up in the big leagues before as well, but guy has a little more of a big league backbone in his history, it seems to make some sense. It seems like they're going out of their way to talk about why Diaz is not ready defensively.
Right.
Which is always...
Well, and you also have to consider the logistics of it.
Yeah.
He's not on the roster.
Exactly.
He's still considered a prospect.
Yeah.
Like, Richie Schaefer's not on the roster, but he's sort of moved beyond that prospect stage. And if you're going to put a guy on the roster and start his clock, and it's only for 2 weeks, that's not really how you want to handle the development of a player.
Right.
You want a Yandy Diaz type, when he comes up, to be up. You know, Gio Urshela has already been in the big leagues. He was their third baseman for 81 games in 2015. So he kind of has more of an expectation and maybe less pressure on him because he's not coming up and getting that taste of it for the first time and dealing with it that way. Or even Richie Schaefer, who's been in the big leagues for parts of two seasons with Tampa Bay. And maybe you can hope a guy like that could get hot for 2 weeks and then be optioned down to the minors as a sound depth guy. So when you weigh those factors, who's on the 40, who's not on the 40, who's still a prospect, who's still developing, and who could be potential fill-ins, you're right. Like, it doesn't really add up to Yandy Diaz. Even if, of that group, he might be the best hitter, the most polished hitter, there's still development there to do, and you don't want to throw a guy out there and have him have a bad week and have it snowball and things like that. They're going to consider all those factors when making this decision.
Yeah, a two or three week trial, it seems to make the most sense to let's just take care of ourselves defensively. This guy can catch the ball. who really cares what he contributes offensively? That's, I don't know. That seems to be the most reasonable way to approach it, and the roster logistics play into that. All right, speaking of roster logistics, there were some moves earlier this week. And among the guys sent out to minor league camp, you know, who stands out as potential, you know, we might see in the big leagues this season?
Yeah, and I mean, I think one of the benefits of the WBC is it allows teams to get maybe a longer, closer look at players that they wouldn't under normal spring circumstances. And that's where guys like Greg Allen, who's a center field prospect, and Ronnie Rodriguez, a utility prospect, really factored in for the Indians this spring. They really got to take a close look and get to know both of those guys. You know, Allen might be two seasons away, but they really are impressed with him off the field and really with his offense and his plus defense. And then Ronnie Rodriguez a couple years ago, you know, he looked like a rising prospect. And then as Jose Ramirez rose and Lindor rose, he kind of got blocked all around the diamond, similar to Eric Gonzalez. So, you know, even with Kipnis at second base. So he's a guy who kind of tried to hone his craft as a utility man to show that, you know, maybe he could be a bench option. And they wanted to get a good look at him this spring and were impressed. And Tito even said today, like, this he has a future in the big leagues. And part of it is because of that willingness to embrace that utility role. So those guys, while they're not a part of the picture this year, it was kind of fun to see them for an extended period, and good for the Indians to get a close look at them in big league camp as they sort of map out the, you know, down the road.
Yeah, Allen, a kind of somewhat overlooked piece of that would be Jonathan Lucroy
right.
trade, because, you know, obviously, you know, Francisco Mejia had the 53 game hitting streak, which attracted a lot of attention. He was kind of the centerpiece of the deal, but Allen would have been a part of the deal that as well. And then Ryan Merritt sent out. Our boy Ryan Merritt, who stepped up on the October
Boots.
Stage. Boots Merritt. You've mentioned this before, but they're kind of holding him up as the organizational example of don't focus so much on the opening day 25. And this is for the fans as well, by the way.
Yeah.
Don't focus too much on who you're trotting out there on April 3rd because you don't know what's going to happen over the course of the season.
Right, and I think it's, you know, every team at the start of spring will tell a certain select number of players, hey, you might not be in the opening day mix, but this takes more than 25 men and blah, 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 blah. And it all sounds so very cliche, and some players may roll their eyes a little bit when they're hearing this from the manager or the GM. But when you, as the Indians now, can point to last season and say Ryan Merritt was in Arizona in, I think, in September or October, working yeah. out, and he got a phone call that they needed him to pitch against the Blue Jays with a chance to go to the World Series. And, you know, I think so they can now send him to AAA. He's gone through that experience. And the guys in that Columbus clubhouse can look to him or even talk to him about that idea that, yeah, you might think the big leagues feel far away when you've got Corey Kluber, Carlos Carrasco, and those guys ahead of you in the rotation, or Lindor, Kipnis, and Ramirez, and those guys in the infield, or Michael Brantley coming back. But then you realize, you know, sometimes you're an injury away or circumstances away from, you know, being called up. And they've got now guys like Merritt, guys like Clevinger, even Plutko and Morimondo played roles on a much lesser scale. You know, those guys who got sent out can be those examples for the minor leaguers. And also, when the Indians are giving that message to players, now they have concrete examples they can point to. And I think that does nothing but benefit a team.
Could you imagine being Ryan Merritt in that scenario, by the way? I'm just thinking about that because we're here in Goodyear. And, I mean, you can look out for, you know, miles at a time and not see a two-story building.
Right.
You know, you're here so isolated. And then next thing you know, you're on a plane to Toronto to pitch in the American League.
In the
League
Rogers Center.
Unbelievable.
In the playoffs, in that atmosphere. It was pretty incredible what he was able to do last year. That was one of my favorite stories of the entire season.
Absolutely. All right, some more good stories ahead. Jordan Bastion will be all over them for MLB.com. I want to thank him for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. It's been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.